This is God speaking to Moses. He says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons. So they're talking to the priests, the ones who were there in behalf of God for the people. They'd make the sacrifices, they do. But he said, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. So here we have God saying, I am commanding you to bless the children of Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I don't necessarily bless the children of Israel, although I pray for Israel. I bless the children of God. That's you. And you need to understand that in the blessing, there's such a huge release of what God intends. So we start in Scripture, the introduction of the blessing started in Genesis, and we'll go there, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And we see here God speaking to Abram. Now, Abram, that was his name before God changed his name to Abraham. So I'll just refer to him as Abraham so we know who we're talking about. But he said, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What is the greatest blessing? Jesus Christ, of course, is the greatest blessing. There's no question of that. And here God is saying, I will bless all the families in the earth. And that means bless them with Jesus, the opportunity to know God through his son, to have their sins forgiven and to have a relationship with God throughout eternity. But God gave that instruction to Abraham, through you, I'm going to bless. And I'd like to think that Abraham was probably blessed before that. And I'll come to that later in the meeting. So we are the seed of Abraham. We receive the blessing that comes from Abraham. So the first point I want to make this morning is God's commands are always associated with promises. And as we obey the commands, then comes the blessings and obviously the release of the promises. John 3:16, which says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. See, there's the command. Whoever believes shall receive the promise of God, which is eternal life. And so the fulfillment of that promise is found in Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. Just stick with me on Scripture this morning. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Note this, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing that God gave to Abraham comes on us now. There could be some people here who have some Jewish blood in them, but the rest of us are Gentiles. And so here's the great blessing of God that's come, fulfilled through Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate blessing. So let's consider what is blessing. The word means prosperity, happiness, well-being. It's more than finance. It's more than money or wealth. It's greater than that. And in Proverbs 10:22, the scripture says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow there with it. Yes, the word rich can mean financial riches, but it has a greater meaning than that. It can mean to grow. It literally means to grow, to accumulate, to enjoy, to prosper. And so it could refer to, obviously, our health, our spiritual and mental well-being as well. For the people of the day, it could mean flocks, herds, servants, land, children, which is an expansive thing. And so rich means something that expands. And if you're needing healing, then there's an expansion in you when you receive the healing, the blessing of God that comes through that. The second point is, I'm sorry, before I go there, that it says the blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow thereto. No sorrow, that means pain, grief or regret. And may I say this morning that we carry the blessing. Where you go, the blessing goes. Why? Because when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. That means you have God, the God of blessing, living in you. And so when I go somewhere, I carry the blessing with me to people. And that's God's intent. And so I want to encourage you, when you talk to people, whether they be Christian or non-Christian, say, God bless you. Why? Because you're speaking the hope over them of Jesus Christ. If they're saved, it's the hope that'll take them on to the greater things in God. If they're not saved, it's a hope that they will be saved. Some people react a little strangely when you say, God bless you, but do it anyway. That might open a door for you to share something more with them as you do that. I invariably, when I hang up the phone, say, God bless you with people. And normally I do it with Christians. And occasionally I'll do it with non-Christians because I forget who I'm talking to and just speak it. And you get some interesting reactions. I've never had anybody say to me, I don't want to be a blessing. I don't want to be blessed by God. I've never heard that out of anybody's mouth. So perhaps tomorrow when you're in the shops and somebody serves you and they, one of the standard phrases, have a great day, you might come back to them and may God bless you. Speak it over them. Let's speak it into the atmosphere. Let's speak it over lives. We release great things upon people. Number two this morning, God's intent is the greater blessing when we want to often hang on to the lesser blessing. Let's consider Abraham for a moment. God said, leave your country, leave your father's house, leave your family, leave your business and go to the land which I'll show you. In other words, I'm not telling you where we're going, but you just trust me. You come along on the journey. The interesting thing is that his father and his nephew, Lot, came with them when Nahor was his father. They went with him. And that's not what God said. He said, leave your father's house. In other words, leave your dad behind. But I think that upon Abraham, there rested a blessing of God that his dad and his nephew said, we're going where the blessing's going. And so they went with Abraham. Now, that caused some problems. God had to let Abraham stay in a certain city till his father died before he took him on. Lot went with Abraham and he got caught up in Sodom and Gomorrah at the time, and that was an awkward situation, and that's a whole other story you can read in the book of Genesis for yourself. But the blessing was on Abraham, and that's why God was taking him there. But just consider, he had to leave so much behind. Comfortable, friends, family, but you see, he was in a situation where it was very idolatrous and children were sacrificed in that culture. And God said, I have to take you out of this culture to get you into something better, to another culture that I'm going to bring. And remember, down through Abraham's line came the children of Israel, came the Ten Commandments. You know, the amazing thing about the Ten Commandments, just about every commandment was contrary to what was happening in the world at that time. And God said, I'm setting order in this world against the evil that is there, that you won't do these things. You won't murder. You won't commit adultery. You have one God, all those things that were important. You won't lie. You won't steal. And so he took Abraham away from where he was because he had a purpose. But it would have been not easy for Abraham. I don't know what he lived in the city he was in, but now he's in a tent. And that's where he spent literally all his time. He never actually went into the promised land himself in one sense, but he did that because God sent him. Let's talk about Job for a minute. Job was a successful businessman. Had lots of cattle, sheep, goats, whatever else he had. Had a bunch of kids. His wife was there. Had buildings, servants. He was a man who gave to the poor. He helped the orphan and the widow. So he was well renowned. If he'd stood for prime minister, he would have won hands down just because he was a guy who was so liked. And then suddenly he starts to lose it. His flocks, his herds, his servants, his kids are killed. His wife's the only thing left with him, and she wasn't exactly a blessing because she was saying, curse God and die, get over this situation. And Job went through a really horrible time. And then his friends turn up. I said, you know, the reason you're going through this is because you sinned. I mean, I've had to sit with people who've lost loved ones. Can you imagine if I said to them, oh, you've lost this child because you've sinned? I think they'd die of shock. So they ought to. It's terrible. I would never say that. So you hear what poor Job had to go through, and what a terrible thing. You know, the issue is that God had a greater purpose for Job as he had for Abraham. And Job says in the book, he said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. In other words, Job came into a greater intimacy. That was God's intent. At the end, the Bible says that God doubled Job's blessing. But I don't think Job cared whether he had flocks, herds, children. You know, I don't think he cared about the blessing, because he'd now come into a relationship with God that he didn't have before. He was a godly man before that, but now he was a godly man in such a relationship there. And what we don't know the influence Job had on people beyond that in bringing them into a relationship with God. So God had a greater purpose. He had to go through it. God takes the lesser to give us the greater. And we need to recognize that. When you're going through something, pause a minute and say, God, are you teaching me something here? Are you taking me to something greater than I'm in? Even though it's been so wonderful and this blessing you've given me and all that it is, do you have a greater blessing? Do you have a greater intent? Can I open my heart and hear that and do that? I grew up in Sydney, which, you know, was my hometown. Great beaches, lots of friends, good job, all that. And then the company I worked for transferred me to Melbourne. Nothing wrong with Melbourne, but once you go down there, you've got to make new friends and you know, find out where everything is and get related and you know, in a new business, you're working with all new people. And then I got moved from Melbourne to Townsville. Just as I'm getting settled in Melbourne, I got moved to Townsville. And I just want to say to you, Townsville was nothing like it is now. It was a very different city when I went there. So I brought the blessing to Townsville. If you want to know how good Townsville is, just thank me for the blessing that I brought to the city. Interestingly enough, the company I went to work for up there just was making loss after loss after loss. It was part of the same group that I was involved in Sydney. From the day I arrived till the day I left, they made profit. And I wasn't a Christian for the whole of that time. I think I was Christian for maybe 3/4 of that time. But you see, there was a blessing on my life that God, because I was being obedient to God, ultimately, not the company, in going where he wanted me, the blessing came with it. Do you understand? And that company was blessed. They made profits. After I left, they went down again. And then they sold up. They had to sell up because it wasn't viable to keep that company going. So you don't know how powerful the blessing is on your life. God had a greater purpose. In Townsville is where I became a Christian, is where I found Jesus. And I found the second best thing was my wife in Townsville. So how good was God? He took me from the lesser blessing to the greater blessing. And perhaps something in your life has been similar. God's taken you to things to take you to a greater thing than you think that you presently have. The third thing is God's ultimate blessing is eternity with him. And of course, that brings us back to Jesus. He is the great blessing. We can be blessed in the here and now, and God does bless, but he sees a bigger picture for us. And we may have to endure some trials in this life for a heavenly purpose yet to come. And so I have said to you often, the things God will allow you to go through here is for there. And it may not be pleasant here, but it's something greater there. And I liken it to school. I've watched first day of school as some kids have to be peeled off their parents. They don't want to go to school. They don't want to be there. They're crying and they're, Mum, don't leave me. Dad, don't leave me. But the parent knows there's a greater blessing. The child has to go through their school years, has to do that. And I know that's not fun for Mum and Dad to have to handle a kid like that. But they know it's a greater blessing ultimately. Kid doesn't know it. They just think this is all blessings are now gone from my life. I have to go to school. God has a greater purpose. Eternity is the greater purpose. And eternity has no time. There's no end. And don't you think, therefore, we ought to be intent on eternity? We've talked about what's happening in Israel at the moment, and I encourage you, keep your eyes on that. I see that like an alarm clock. It's a wake-up call. God's saying, the time is short, and you can't hit the pause button on that alarm clock. It's going and going. And I just have a sense in my heart, and I want to try and convey it to you this morning. How are you living your life? What are you doing with your life? Are you making it available unto the Lord and saying, God, I don't know how many days are left. And I know the South Africans are praying that the rapture doesn't come this week because they want to see South Africa beat New Zealand next week. So I can assure you the rapture won't happen this week because that's the reason for that. But hey, folks, it's getting closer. And the end of time. Look, watch the Middle East. Watch Palestine. That's where the clock is. And when Israel drops the bomb on Iran, which will happen, and I think there's a good chance it'll happen, certainly within a matter of months, because Iran has developed, is developing, they're enriching uranium to develop their atomic weapon, and they have a supersonic missile that can travel from Iran to Israel in 6 minutes. And they're going to put the warhead on that, and they're going to send it in to bomb Israel. They've said that's what they're going to do. They're quite open about it. They want to destroy Israel. And Israel has said, well, we're going to bomb Iran, the city of Elam, I believe, which is spoken about in the Bible. Now it's going to be destroyed. So what's my point? We're close. We're very close. And so you should be saying to God, what do you want me to do with my life? Be it another week, month, year, what do you want me to do? Not, I'm just going to live how I choose. I'll honour God, I'll come to church, I'll do those things. No, no, there's more to it than that. What are you going to do for God? How are you going to live your life? Don't waste it. Because God has a greater blessing in mind for you than the blessing you might be enjoying just right now. So be determined. God, I'm after the greater blessing. I'll not settle for the lesser blessing. I loved blind Bartimaeus. I'm going to preach a sermon on him. In fact, I might include it in the blessing series, so I won't say too much. But Bartimaeus, remember he was there and he said to the crowd, what's going on? And they said, oh, it's Jesus. And he began to cry out, Jesus, have mercy on me, son of David. And people are saying to him, hey, be quiet. You're disturbing the orderly church meeting. Stop calling out. Do you know, I pray just about every Sunday, Lord, disturb this meeting as you choose. I'm not inviting you to disturb the meeting. I'm inviting the Holy Spirit to disturb the meeting. Okay, let's get that straight. But I'm happy for the Holy Spirit to break out and do what he chooses. Why not? He's the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of this meeting. He's the Lord of our lives. Why not? So what are you going to do with your lives? It's a question you need to consider. Are you after the greater blessing or the lesser blessing? And I encourage you, like Bartimaeus, he sought the greater blessing. Yes, he was in the presence of Jesus for that brief time there, but he wasn't talking to Jesus at that point, but he wanted the greater blessing. And I think he did, and I'll talk maybe more about that another time. So God's ultimate blessing is eternity. So don't set your life and your hope here, but set it on eternity. What does that mean? Live a life of relationship with God. Walk in obedience. Live in love. Focus on the kingdom of God and do all by faith. All by faith. Trusting God. In Ephesians, when we talk about where does the blessing come from, I certainly can. The blessing doesn't come from me. I can pray for you. I can bless you. But it doesn't come from me. And so consider this. Out of Ephesians 1:3, the scripture says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." So the blessings come from the spiritual. I've taught you before that this world, this natural world, is contained in the greater envelope, if you like, of the spiritual world. The spiritual world is greater than the natural world. And so when we pray, our words go from the natural into the spiritual world. And there they're not lost. I mean, we speak now and our words, you know, once they're said, they're gone, unless we record them and play them back. But the same thing is true. When we talk about spiritual blessing, we are pulling down blessing from the spiritual into the natural. And so when we speak a blessing over somebody, we're releasing the heavenly blessing into the natural upon the person. Agreed? We can do it. You can do it. I know you can. So, with that in mind, let us draw this to conclusion this morning. I'm saying draw on the heavenly blessings and bring them into the natural world. There are people who are spiritually under attack and under a curse. But you know how you break a curse? You bless. Blessing breaks the yoke of the curse. And so the Bible says, don't return curse for curse, return blessing for curse. And so speak the blessing, and by our obedience, we can bring blessing into the lives of people who sit literally in darkness under a curse. And that's all I'm going to say on blessing this morning. And we're going to take communion together, because that is a blessing of God that has been given to us. Thank you, guys, if you'd serve the communion. While they're doing that, let me just say this. We're called to be a people of blessing. We're called to express blessing. And we live in a negative world. And it's easy to get focused on the negative. It's easy to speak the words that we hear in our culture, which are based on the natural world. And we could say, oh, Mackay needs rain, it's so dry. Well, that may be true, but why don't you bless it? Say, Lord, I bless the city with rain. These events of warming, global warming, I understand that, you know, those things are happening, but we don't have to live there. You can hand those out. Thank you, guys. You can go ahead and hand those out now. Yep. We can speak the blessing in place of the cursing. The curse is, yeah, we're bound by global warming. We're doomed to having those awful aerial things swinging around. They look terrible, don't they? You go to this beautiful countryside and here's all these giant metal things swinging in the breeze just because we so-called need electricity. So can I encourage you, why don't you speak the blessing over these things? We can change the atmosphere. We can change the culture. We can change the things that are around about us that we think we don't have any say in. But we can. So here this morning, we're taking communion together. Because it's a vital thing to do for Christians to take communion. And I want to share a scripture with you found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. And Paul writes, he says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" The cup of blessing. The cup of blessing. Why do we take communion? Two things. One, we have what represents the body of Christ. And we need to be totally in touch with the fact that Jesus came in a body. He didn't come as a spirit. He came in the body of a human. He was God, but he put that aside to become a human for us. So he was God and he was human at the same time, but he put his Godhead aside to come. He had to be sinless to die for us. Otherwise, he was in the same boat as we were. We can't die for sin. We could have died for sin, but that would have been eternal judgment. But we're released from that. And we have eternal promise and the hope of glory and the presence of God forever because Jesus came in a body. But we also have the blood, the cup. Why does he say to do this in remembrance of me? Because he wants us to constantly understand the blessing that we have. If you're like me, there's times I forget the blessing. And this is where wives are good. They come along and you remind you of the many blessings. When I'm feeling depressed about something, denial about something, along comes my wife and starts to speak that over my life. But remember the blessing. Look what God's done. Hey, I've said to you before, if I hadn't been a Christian, I'm not sure I'd be alive today for whatever reason. I don't think I'd have survived. So I am so thankful to God for Christianity and the life he's given me and the wonderful people I get to be a part of. So here we are this morning, we hold in our hand the representation of the body of Christ and the blood, the cup of blessing, the reminder that he died for us. And we have the ultimate blessing because of him. So would you take, and I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. I think that's how we honour the taking communion. I know you can do it sitting down, but I think I'd like to honour it and do that. So, Lord, we just thank you for the body of Jesus Christ broken for us, coming in the form of a man, taking our sins, taking our grief, taking our sorrows, taking our sickness, and by his life, we receive fullness of the blessing you intend. And we thank you for the cup of blessing, Lord, representing the blood of Jesus Christ, the eternal blessing that's given us life. Eat and drink in Jesus' name this morning. Thank you, mighty God. We remember the blessing. And we thank you. We thank you. Amen and amen. I will pray the blessing over you this morning. And we will do that after we've sung. So, let's get our worship team up here. And thank you, worship team, for the great job you do. And let's worship together. And then I want to pray a blessing with intent. Are we good? Are you good? And I pray you're going to get blessed and continue to walk in the blessing. And I put this challenge before you. Will you make a point of blessing someone this week who is not a Christian? Will you just say that maybe at the end of a conversation? May God bless you. Don't have to make it a big deal. You just do something simple like that. You never know what God can do when you impart that. Thanks, team. Let's do Worthy of It All. That's such a powerful song. You kick it off, Jen, for us. Thank you, Lord. He indeed is worthy of it all. Why? Because he gave it all. Praise his holy name. I sense the Holy Spirit calling you to fulfill roles for him. to do things. And also, there's an encouragement that in that sometimes we say we're not worthy, we're not capable. Jesus doesn't look for that. He looks for availability and obedience. And if you will respond to that, what you feel in your heart this morning, and say, yes, Lord, I will, then from that will flow the greater blessing that God has intended over your life for His glory and for the kingdom of God. Jesus, Lord Jesus, do a great and mighty work, Lord, in the hearts of people today. Wonderful Lord, wonderful. We bow before you. We say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, here I am. Use me. Arise, O God, in the midst of your people. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. For some of you, this is a very holy moment. When God met Moses in the burning bush, he said, take off your shoes, for you stand on holy ground. Well, we don't necessarily take off our footwear, but in a sense, in the spiritual, we do, because footwear is our will, is where we take ourselves. And when we take off that footwear, we say, God, I will go where you want me to go. Let this moment not be wasted. Let it not be rationalized. Nor let it be spiritualized, but take it and be intentional in your response to God. Say, yes, Lord, I hear you. I hear you. Thank you, Lord. God. Thank you, O God.